Parsha Shemini.
There is a fantastic parsha, and I want to work through a mahalach that I've been thinking about quite a bit, and I think you'd enjoy it with me. The parasha begins in Perek Yud Aleph, a very dramatic beginning and a very dramatic end. V'davar Hashem Moshe v'al Aaron. Hashem said to Moshe and Aaron, "Lemar aleihem," to say to them, "Dabru el bnei Yisrael lemar." Dabru el bnei Yisrael lemar. So who's this lashon of lemar aleihem, to say to them, "Dabru," and they shall say to bnei Yisrael, which is very unusual. Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Aleph and Beis. So who are we talking about? Say to them that they should say to others. Who are we referring to? So it says in Rashi, Moshe and Aaron, "Lemoshe Omar." He said to Moshe to say to Aaron, "Lemar aleihem." Oma sheyoyma lelozo veleisomo. Go and tell Elozo veleisomo, says the next pasuk, says Rashi next pasuk, Dabro bnei Yisrael, es kulam hishve lioy shluchim bedibur. They are all equal in this dibur, in this command. The fisher hushvu bedmimo, since they were all parallel and when they kept quiet, they did not react to a terrible parasha which we've discussed previously, where the brothers died and the nephew or son died. Kiblu alein gzeres hakosav, kiblu alein gzeres hakosav ma'avo, and they took on gzeres hakosav. They were the ones who were responsible to give over this parasha to Klal Yisrael. Now, there's normally Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a process. Moshe gave it to Aaron. Aaron gave it to next. Here, there are four people who are responsible to teach over to Klal Yisrael this parasha because of the schus of keeping quiet when Nadav and Avihu died. Ma kesha, what connection is there between this fantastic parasha of what animals are kosher, what animals are not kosher, with the split who's and true the cards? What's it got to do with the previous parasha, which talks not long before that, about the fact that Nadav and Avihu died, and for that they got the schar of getting this parasha? Furthermore, at the end of the parasha, there's a summary. And the summary is it's full of splendor, full of majesty. Yeah, the end of the parasha in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Mem Hei, long parasha. The pasuk says, "Ki ani Hashem." No, before that, pasuk. Sorry, "Atu shaktus nafshei seichem." Do not make yourself despicable with all these different animals. "Ki ani Hashem elekeichem." I am Hashem. Is kadashtem v'yisem kadoshim. You should become holy. Ki kadosh oni, because I am holy. And next pasuk, "Ki ani Hashem mala eschem es mitzrayim." Atu gav mitzrayim v'yisachem elohim v'yisem kadoshim ki kadosh oni. Again, kadusha ani Hashem. Zoyz Torahs Behema, and it makes a separation between Behema and Behoi for the whole. That next pasuk, "Have to be a Tomim and a Toyer." It's a whole summary here. We never have a summary. We have a pasuk, we have a chiyuv, we have Darshal Meishulemo, Dabba Bnei Yisrael, tell them the following din. When do we have a whole few psukim saying why Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us the mitzvahs, and to be a havdil between this and that, and I am Kodesh, therefore I want you to be Kodesh, and therefore don't eat this animal, do eat that animal? We just talked about that. Why are these psukim so necessary at the end? What's the idea behind this? So I like to suggest this parasha over here is not just a parasha dealing here with the dietary laws of what is kosher and what is not kosher in an animal. That's not the idea. To stand up and to give the schar to Nadav and Avihu for dietary laws, there's more beautiful halachas. You know, there's kibud ve'eim and there's kiddush Hashem. To give them the laws, of dietary laws of what's kosher and what's not kosher, must be that underlying behind this parasha, there must be an amazing schar, amazing limud, that for that reason they're giving this parasha to be the ones who are going to give it over to Klal Yisrael. And it's for that reason that the parasha ends up that gives it such amazing gravity, that Kodesh Baruch Hu wraps up the parasha with Ani Hashem that took out Mitzrayim and everything else. There must be something behind this. So what's the idea? So I looked around and I saw that the Mefarshim, the Rishonim all say this, and the Chinuch says this, and all the Rishonim say this, that what a person digests, what a person eats, has an effect on him. And Rachman al Islam, sometimes a person has a chiyuv to eat something that isn't kosher, that sometimes it's brought down in history, that sometimes people have to eat not kosher animals because for the medical needs, and they began to look and act differently. In other words, what one eats has an effect on the body. And therefore, these animals that chew the cud, and these animals have split hooves, they have an effect on the people who eat them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants those who eat them to have the same midos as these animals. And failing one of those two midos is failing what a Jew is supposed to be. So what do these things represent? What is chewing the cud, and what does the idea of split hooves represent in a human person. So I saw three different ideas. Actually four, but I'll talk about three right now. One idea is as follows. That chewing the cud is, you know, in English we have the expression chewing it over. Chewing it over means when you see an animal that chews a cud, it has grass, and basically he digests it. And then he puts in a little pellet, and he sort of almost like vomits it up to another stomach, puts it back to his mouth again, chews it again, sends it down to another stomach, vomits it up again, puts another stomach, and sends another stomach, right? In other words, he takes something and doesn't just hear it, puts it down, lets it. He takes it and he chews it over and he digests it and then he regurgitates it and takes it up again and chews it over again and swallows it again. In other words, when he hears something, it should make an impact, not that it just goes in one ear and out the other, that it becomes digested. It becomes digested in your body, and then you think, wow, I want to think about that again, and then you spit it up again, as it were, and you digest and think about it again. But it's not helpful just to become an intellectual that understands the concepts of just ideas of, wow, this is a wonderful idea, this is fantastic. One's got to make the thoughts come into action. You've got to take the chewing of the cud, which is not enough just to chew it over, to be intellectuals, to make it into a maisa, to make it into to split hooves, to make something that is noticeable, that you're actually taking the thought and making it into an action. And once that action becomes an action, that action then goes back and re-educates the thought. In other words, the as the chinuch says many, many places, the actions that a person does affects the way the person is. A person gets influenced by the actions that he does. And therefore, again, it's a learning process. You're thinking, you're doing. Your doing makes you think. In other words, it's backwards and forwards. But just having one of them is not going to be sufficient in order to be able to educate yourself sufficiently. That is the idea behind the idea of chewing a cud and having split hooves. But I saw another idea as well. And the idea is, the Kodam Rav Shimshon Pinkus brings us down. And he says that, you know, unfortunately, you don't have to go very far. You see, you go into a cab, and the cab driver, is a very, very sweet person. He even turns on the monnaie, right? And, yeah, sometimes it happens, right? And he's very nice, and he doesn't talk too much politics. And then he's seen speaking on the phone. Yeah, Motek, if ataolech. Yeah, macha, I'm going tomorrow to the beach, Bezrat Hashem. You think to yourself, ma Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow is Shabbos. Right? It's tomorrow Shabbos, what's Bezrat Hashem? And you speak to him, and he has a big nanach, and so you speak to him, and you say to him, tell me, what's going on? So he says, Tazov, leave me, ani Yehudi Balev. Ani Yehudi Balev, I'm a Jew in the heart, ani Yehudi Balev. Tamini, and he is a Yehudi Balev. These people are maminim, they're maminim b'nei maminim. You say one word against the Talmud Chochem, yeah, he'll press the eject seat. You'll be out of that seat so fast, right? You speak one word against you in shul. You start talking in shul, he'll take you up and fling you straight down the stairs. These people are Yehudi Balev. But as Rabina once said, you've got to be a Yiras Shemayim and a Yiras Chet. Not does that just be Yiras Shemayim? Got to be Yiras Chet. You've got to keep Shabbos as well, right? On the other hand, to the other extent, you have a person who is Nebuch got the FFBitis. Now, FFBitis is from birth illness. What is that from birth illness? He is autopilot. You know, you put on your tefillin, you do your shakal of Shemana Esra. There is all the actions, every action that it takes to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do without any of the machshava behind it, without any of the thought. He doesn't really enjoy Rabbeinu Shleilam. He has no relationship with Rabbeinu Shleilam, but he does every single action that he needs to do. Says Rav Shimshon Pinkus, there are two kinds of people. There are those who are internal Jews, Yehudi Balev. Chew the cards. Ah, Ribbono Shel Olam. Ah, it's a motik. And these people will go along and they'll go to Kvarim and then they'll go out and eat tarfus. The actions are not actions. And he had the exact opposite of a person who has all the actions. He's got all the garb and he's got the lulav and he's got the estrog and he's got the matzah and he's got everything muhuda. But bifnim, deep inside, there's nothing there. He said, you gotta have both. You gotta be a Jew from inside and from outside. You gotta have the chewing of the cud, where you're Jew from inside, and also where you have the actions, where they actually creating a real person of inside and out, a Tuchi Kabari. He said, just by the way, he said, why is a Chazir called a Chazir? Because the Osir Lover, Kodesh Baruch Hu, will bring him back and make him a kosher animal. He said, in truth, he said, if you want to see the difference between one and the other, it's better to be the one who does all the actions and has no Pnim than a person has a Pnim and doesn't do any of the actions. Because a person who's doing the actions, eventually, he'll start thinking about it and he'll come back. But a person who doesn't do any actions, Bechlal, eventually, he'll get lost. So it's better to be a Chazir that does actions without thought, because eventually it'll make an impact on him. But that is a Jew, that inside and out, you've got to be a Tuchel Kabar inside and out. That's another idea. The third idea is the idea as follows. The third idea is a concept of Esav was compared to a Chazir. Why is Esav compared to a Chazir? There are certain people who are Mevinim, who are moralists, who are perfect in Ben Odom Lamokoim. Perfect. Ben Odom Lamokoim, they are outstanding. But when Odom Lamokoim, they are outstanding. Ben Odom Lechaveroi, horrendous. Terrible. Terrible. And you have people exactly the opposite. Ben Odom Lechaveroi, unbelievable. Fantastic. Kibbutz of Ve'eim, everything, you name it. But Ben Odom Lamokoim, nothing. Esav was a classic Ben Odom Lechaveroinik, believe it or not. Kibbutz of Ve'eim, you know what parents do for me, and he had Derech Eretz for his father to the way he understood it. He had Ben Odom Lechaveroi. But, he had no Ben Odom Lamokoim. Chewing the cud is an internal between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not like we said beforehand, the idea that he's not doing action. He's a real doing an action. It's a person, not Yehudi Balev. He's Yehudi by action, but between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't express it to the society around him. People don't see that he is doing that. And you have people who are helping society, all the chasodim, but when it comes to ultimately with tefillah and the relationship with the Rebbeinu Shloilam and Yirah Shemayim Mamash, then they don't have it. And therefore that's another idea of true nekad and having split hooves. It's a Ben Odom Lechaveir and Ben Odom Lamokim. Now, I want to tell you a most fantastic, fantastic kliyoko. Okay? What happens if a person only has one? What happens if a person only has one of those things? Let's say he is Ben Odom Lamokim, not Ben Odom Lechaveir. Or he is Yehudi Balev and not Yehudi outside, or Yehudi outside, not Yehudi inside. One of those things, what happens to him? So listen to this kliyoka. The kliyoka asks, fantastic kasha, he says, the pasuk very clearly tells us exactly which animals we can eat. What animals can we eat? See the animals you can eat. Kol mafreses paraso, it's got to have mafreses paraso, which is our shesa, parosos. Malageiro, it's got to have split hooves and chew the cud. Are we clear? Yes. Perfectly clear, we've done it any more than that. Next pasuk. Achezer lo yitoichledu. But these are the animals you mustn't eat. Mimala hagei mafresa paraso. Those animals that have one. And it brings four examples. One of them is a gomel. Gomel is ki male geiruhu, because it chews a cud. Uparaso in a mafis does not have split hooves. Tommy hu lachem is Tommy. Then he brings another example. Es hashofon ki male geiruhu, because it's male geira, it chews a cud. Uparaso leyafis, it doesn't have split hooves. Third example. Es arneves. Yeah, the arneves. Arneves is not a rabbit, by the way. It's a rock hyrax. Yeah, a rock hyrax. Now you go to En Gedi, little animals running around. That is arneves. It's a rock hyrax. Ki male geiruhu. I once crept up behind my rabbit when I was a kid. It doesn't chew the cud. No. So he's kimalas geiruhu, it chews the cud. Uparasein in a mafris. Yeah, it does not have split hooves. Tmei yehu lechem. It's a chazer and the opposite. Kimafris parasehu, it has split hooves, doesn't chew the cud. Ask the kliyoka, if we're looking at a weakness in the animal, that it doesn't have both simonim A plus B, chewing the cud plus split hooves equals a kosher animal, then a person should just tell us, why any of those four animals are not kosher? Why is a chazir not kosher? The pasuk should say, "Es a chazir, because it doesn't chew the cud. For geir lo yigor, doesn't chew the cud. Arneves, because it doesn't have split hooves. Why does it say? Because it chews a cud, but doesn't have split hooves. What's the day behind that? I want to read the loshon. Listen to this loshon, and this is something unbelievable. So he says as follows. He says, yeah. Ubiya inyan. The simon tahara shebekulam, the simon tahara that each one has. For example, let's say the pig, right? The chazir. The fact that it has split hooves, meisif tumah al tumasam. It's more tumah than an animal that doesn't have any simon. Why? Vezem meira akol misha in toicha kabari. Kmidas hatzivoyin, and people who cover themselves, umarin es atzmam kshay, they make as if they're kosher. Vehema bnei safik gruim in the rosh, they're worse than the rishoyim. In other words, Rabbi Yisai, if we look at a chazir, it has one of the simoni tahara. So you look at it as, there are three levels. There are animals that are perfectly kosher, both simonim, right? We have the chazir that has one simon, which is like sort of in the middle. And we have the other animals that don't have either and they're worse. Says the Kli Yakar, no. A chazir is the most tome animal. You know why? Because its simon tahara makes it more tome. Because it has a simon tahara, it makes it more tome than if it wouldn't have anything. Therefore, why is a chazir tome? Not because it only doesn't, because it only has one simon. Because it has a split hoof, that is why it's tome. Why? Because the confusion that this animal shows that it has one simon is worse than an animal with no simonim. So these four animals are not semi-kosher animals. They are super duper mahadrin treif animals more than any other animal that doesn't have either. Because having one simon is a cause of it being more tommy and not having any simonim. So that's what the pasuk says. Why is a chazir? Why is a chazir tommy? Ki mafris parasuhu. Because it has a split hoof. That's terribly tommy. Yeah? For gorilla yigot. Also why it's not tommy is because it has to choose a card. But it's part of its tumor comes from that. Everybody say it's so simple to see. It's so simple to see. Can you imagine? Yeah, can you imagine? A group, let's say, of Hare Krishnas will come along to the coastal. I want to make a minion there. Yeah, they want to come with the drums, yeah, and with the ponytails, and blam, 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 and they're going along and they're going to make a minion there. Yeah? Get rid of them. What are you Jewish? Now you have people that are dressed up, and the ladies come with a talis and a tefillin and a sefer Torah. Oh! Gavaldik, so the Jews, right? Fantastic. So they give them a minion, give them the conversion, give them the mikvahs. Fantastic. Rabbi Yisai, the tefillin that they're wearing is a simon tumah. It's a simon tumah. It's not a simon of tahara, it is a simon tumah. That is a way of confusing these poor people who don't know better. They're worse than people who are the Hare Krishna that, I'm not saying in Shemayim, I know to judge them, blah, blah, blah. Yeah? But I'm saying as far as the confusing levels are concerned, that is a simon tumah. There, you know, Jews for J. Jews for J. You know, if you come along with a big crucifix, they won't do it. So you get a person with a beard and they put a couple on and they stop. That is more tumah than anything else. So sometimes, if you have only one of the simoni tahara, it's worse than not having either. Let's understand now Aaron HaKohen. Let's go back to Aaron HaKohen now. By the way, the Chofetz Chaim says, a yid dav zayin, a Jew has to be klug, frum, and good. Klug, clever, frum, and good, and a good person. Klug alein, just wise yourself, is a professor. Frum alein, just to be frum, is a galach, is a priest. And good alein, a person good himself, is a noyif, a person who is, a person who just looks after his taiva, looks after his self, his needs of passion, right? In any of these things, if you look at those three pshatim, think about it, the first pshat is the idea of klug, how a person's got to educate themselves of making their mind control their actions. That's how to be klug. That is how to be clever. You got to have number one. You got to have the next one is, if you remember, is the idea of Yehudi Balev. That is frum. Yeah, from inside, from outside. You can't have just that. And the third one is the idea of an omloch v'en omloch, how good. You've got to be good to yourself, good to other people. You've got to have all those three ideas, good, frum, and klug, all those three in place. And make sure you have them all, because if you don't have them all, then it's worse than not having anything. That's what the Kli Yakar says. Now, v'yidim Aaron. V'yidim Aaron. What happened v'yidim Aaron? What happened there? Rabbi Yisvayidim Aaron, we're talking about, let's see what climax of what was going on over here. Klal Yisrael, going to Mitzrayim, 210 years, they leave Mitzrayim, They have Nisim and Niflois, the Kriyas Yamsuf. They have 40 days. They get the Torah. You get the Torah, then they have a fundraising campaign to build the Mishkan with all the Kedusha, with all the Tahara, with all the passion. They build a Mishkan. This is 7 days Moshe Rabbeinu puts up the Mishkan, puts down the Mishkan. The eighth day! This is a time the Kohenim are coming to their peak. This is a climax. And Kodesh Baruch Hu brings down, the Pasuk said the Kodesh Baruch Hu brings down the Eish from Shemaim, and everyone starts singing and everyone starts bowing. This is it, says the next Pasuk. Vayikchu b'nei Aaron, v'teitzi Eish b'fnei Hashem, and v'teichel al ha'mizbeach etzel oilo, v'yakul ha'om, v'yiplapin, also started singing, and they fell in the face. Vayikchu b'nei Aaron, nodu v'aviyu ish machtosoi, they brought their machto, and what happened to them? Vayikrivu l'fnei Hashem, Eish Zorah brought up his Eish HaKodesh Baruch Hu didn't want, v'teitzi Eish b'fnei Hashem, Eish came down from Shemaim, v'yamusu, and they died. What's a reaction? Vayidoyim Aaron, he was silent. Rabbeisai, what greater level can a person be than that? In fact, Rav Shimon Schwab said, listen to this beautiful thought, Rav Shimon Schwab. He says that we know in the world, in existence in the world, there are four different levels. There's a doimim, tzimeach, chai, and medabe. Doimim is like a rock, the ground. Yeah, it doesn't move, doesn't grow. You have tzimeach, something that grows, like grass grows in the ground. Chai is an animal. And medabe, the one who speaks. Now each one has rule over the next one. Doimim is ruled over by the grass that grows in it, the trees that grow, etc. You have the chai, the animal, eats the grass. And medabe is the one who eats the animals. You say, you know the level even higher than that? A doimim. A doimim. A medaber, one who can speak, but for the sake of Yerushalayim becomes a doimim, is on the highest level of existence. That is the godless of Aaron HaKohen. He was a medaber who became a doimim. That is the highest level. A person who is able to completely control himself, have the education to know how to move, how to think, how to become a Jew inside and out, the ruchnius, the ben adam lechaveir, the ben adam lemokoyim, to become totally in control of the bifnim and the bechutz, of the true and the kad and split hooves, the actions are inside, actions are outside, perfectly in control of his body, gets the parasha of animals that are kosher and not kosher. Because he is somebody who is totally in control of his body. Totally in control of Olam Adam Lamokim. That is why Vayitim Aaron, that is why these people got this char to have Dafka this parasha. Because Doimim is the greatest koyach, level of godless. A Doimim can now teach the Medaber how to eat the Chai. That was Aaron. Aaron and Elazar in the summer, a Moshe with a Doimim who could teach the Medaber how to eat the Chai. That is why they got this parasha more than any other parasha. The Chofetz Chaim says further. He says, "Vayidoyim Aaron." He says, "Vayishtoik Aaron." He says, "Vayidoyim Aaron." What's the difference? Vayishtoik means he kept quiet. He kept it in. Vayidoyim means he didn't see any form of struggle inside him whatsoever. He was totally passive. That is this week's parasha. The parasha is to have these lessons of chewing the cud and split hooves, or the chaver, or the mocker, the inside and out, and all this. And that is why the parasha ends with this beautiful, beautiful parasha. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, "Learn these lessons." And know all the lessons. If you learn this parasha properly, one has proper kedusha. One can react to the world the way Aaron HaKohen act.